Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for the opportunity to present some of the data and visualization services from Unidata as well as the rest of UCAR and NCAR. Jim did a marvelous job of presenting some of the information already, so that's going to help me in speeding up, and I certainly don't want to stand between you and the lunch that is scheduled at noon. There are two more talks after me. So I'll try to get through this as quickly as possible, and I want to thank the organizers for a wonderful program and the opportunity to present some of the material, but more importantly, have a dialogue with you all on how we can collaborate going forward, as well as also offer some resources that could benefit your mission and your respective communities. Before I go, and there is a blank slide here, which perhaps is very convenient, because I have a bumper sticker that I want to convey, which is not on the slide, but that is to build it, test it, give it away. That is our mantra. Whatever we do in UCAR, NCAR, UCP, and Unidata is available for free. It's all open source, and it's all open access. So I heartily welcome all of you to avail of these capabilities and resources going forward. The other slogan is borrowed from BASF, which in the 70s and 80s used to say, we don't build the hockey puck, but we make them stronger. We don't build the carpets, but we make them more vibrant. In the same manner, speaking for Unidata, we don't do science, but our job is to facilitate the advancement of research and science by giving our community tools and services. Same way, in the manner, we don't do education, but we want to give faculty and instructors tools, services, and data so that they can engage in the best possible education and for student learning. Let me start off with the presentation on Unidata, and I'm going to mention a few other data and visualization services within the UCAR umbrella. I have this paraphrasing of the Gettysburg Address, and that is a program of the community, by the community, for the community, and Unidata lives up to that every single day. We were created by the community almost 30 years ago, and some of you played a role. I know John, through his days as a synoptic meteorology professor, and several others were engaged in the conversation when Unidata was created by the atmospheric science community in the United States and sponsored by the National Science Foundation in 1984. We were the very first program in what was then called the UCAR Office of Programs, which is now called UCAR Community Programs. And thanks to NSF funding and community support, we have continued to provide data analysis and visualization services for the past 30 years. And I'm very pleased to say that we just got renewed for another 5 years, so Unidata will have its 35th anniversary someday, 5 years from now. Like I said, we are primarily funded by the National Science Foundation to address universities' data and visualization service needs. But I have to also say that through the work we have done for the past 30 years for the university community, we now have a vast audience worldwide in 214 countries that benefit from the products and services coming out of Unidata, and you'll see a diagram on the metrics in an upcoming slide. Here is a very quick Unidata's mission statement as well as our niche. Our niche is providing data services for Earth system sciences. And by data services, I mean a very comprehensive end-to-end suite of products and services in the area of data services. How many of you here have used NetCDF or heard of NetCDF? That is a large, and NetCDF comes from Unidata. And it is the most downloaded software from all of UCAR and one of the most widely adopted community data formats in all of geosciences. Here is a mission statement. I'm not going to read it for you, but our goal is to transform geosciences research, education, and community outreach by providing data services and tools for you all to use and benefit from and apply in your mission. There is this notion that most scientists, regardless of discipline, and it is particularly true in the geosciences, spend 80% of their time mucking around with data, accessing data, processing, reformatting, converting, before they do their actual science and interpret the results they obtain. And that has been demonstrated in numerous empirical and other studies. And only 20% of their time goes into actually doing science or interpreting their results. We want to flip that ratio and reduce this concept of data friction that is actually causing people to spend 80% of their time and lower the barriers for accessing as well as using data and shrink the time to research, which the time it takes from starting your project to when you do your publication. Here are some core activities Unidata engages in, and some of you are already beneficiaries of this, and we welcome more of you to take advantage of what Unidata has to offer. We, of course, the bread and butter of Unidata's operation is acquiring and distributing real-time weather data, and we have over 30 different data streams that provide data to a worldwide community. We develop software. I mentioned NetCDF, but we have the local data manager that moves all of the real-time radar data that you see on your cell phones or on TV is actually facilitated by Unidata software that has been provided to the National Weather Service in the U.S. and services in Canada so that the data can flow to end users using one of the Unidata software. But we also have end user analysis and visualization tools that I'll show in an upcoming slide. In addition to providing data and software, we do training, and there's a training workshop period that's coming up in October, October 21. We offer training on a suite of Unidata products and data systems, so please sign up. The entry fee is $50 for coffee and refreshments. Otherwise, it doesn't cost anything to anybody, and Canadian universities and users are most welcome at these because we typically have at least half a dozen countries represented at our annual training workshops. We also work with the worldwide community, with the Open Geospatial Consortium, WMO, and other organizations in facilitating the advancement of standards and conventions for data format and metadata in the geosciences. We also engage in advocacy on behalf of universities and fight battles with the National Weather Service or NOAA in procuring data, or sometimes it's even easier. We actually worked with the Canadian Met Service almost 16 years ago to gain access to your GEM model output, and we are now providing that to over 30 universities in the U.S., plus all of the data from for the TIGI project are moved to the three archives, one at NCAR, one at European Center, and one in Beijing, using Unidata tools. So we actually work with organizations to gain access to data and move them to users who are interested in. We also provide funds. This is an important thing for Canadian universities that may be interested in participating in Unidata. If you want to set up a lab, if you want to get computers for your students for classwork and other activities, we actually run an annual equipment award program that gives out $100,000 to universities. And universities in Canada and elsewhere in other countries are quite welcome to submit proposals to request money for purchasing this equipment. Up to $20,000 is granted to a single university. In terms of real-time data distribution, we have this web of data transport done using the local data manager or the LDM, wherein any node on the internet can be ingesting data into this web, and any node on the internet can be a recipient of that data. For example, radar data from all of the National Weather Service radar sites and DOD and FAA radar sites are ingested from their respective radar location, or we ingest model output from various modeling centers around the world, or satellite data comes to us courtesy of NESDIS or University of Wisconsin that flows to users who subscribe to this particular data set or data stream. We have about 30 of those data streams, and I do know that there are two universities in this town that receive that data, University of McGill, where we are meeting, as well as University of Quebec at Montreal, which actually receives a large volume of real-time data through the LDM protocol, in addition to the GEM output in which they are most interested in. We actually move around 30 terabytes of data a week via Internet 2 backbones, and we're one of the largest users of that particular network in the U.S. In addition to pushing data and moving it to end users on the edge at their respective locations, we also have remote data access systems set up in Boulder at University of Wisconsin and other locations where people who do not want to receive data 24/7 on their local workstations or desktop machines can actually come and you can fire up an application here in this room and point to servers in Boulder and do the real-time analysis and visualization of data. I'm not talking about pretty pictures, but actually gain access to level 2 or level 3 NEXRAD output or satellite imagery in the last 15 minutes or model output from the latest model runs from the various modeling centers. And there are various protocols through which we provide access to such data. We actually operate a data server in Boulder where over 660 gigabytes of data are downloaded every single day. We actually push. We are the largest user of the research network at NCAR and UCAR, where we actually have a sustained average rate of 1.2 gigabits per second of data moved to end users, taking advantage of the facilities we have operating at UCAR. In terms of analysis and visualization tools, many of you might be familiar with GEMPAC, the Integrated Data Viewer. I remember very vividly when I took over John's teaching responsibility at Illinois, GEMPAC was the mainstay of data analysis and visualization. And back then, thanks to John and the battles I fought with the department head and the dean, we actually paid $10,000 to a company called Cosmic that was a contractor for NASA to gain access to GEMPAC. And University of Illinois was one of three universities or four universities who could afford to do that. Today, that software comes to 300 universities worldwide for free, thanks to National Science Foundation sponsoring Unidata activities. We are also bringing online the next generation analysis and visualization tool developed in the U.S. National Weather Service called AWIPS2, and we have many universities in the U.S. signed up to receive that data in a beta testing program, and we welcome universities in Canada to also gain access to the same software that the Weather Service field offices and the National Center for Environmental Prediction will be using going forward. Here are some quick key metrics, statistics on Unidata. We have over 40,000 registered users on our website. Registration is not mandatory for all of our software, particularly NetCDF, and as such, that is a vast undercount of the number of users we have. We have users in 1,500 academic institutions worldwide and 7,000 organizations in all of the sectors. That includes over 100 companies that use Unidata data system or data streams or software. We have users in 214 countries, like I mentioned earlier, and our NetCDF software is downloaded more than 100,000 times every year. We also have, we're very proud of the data servers we operate at Unidata. Even though Unidata is not an operational entity, we have an uptime of 3 nines, 99.94% averaged over the last 7 years. And we move over 3.4 petabytes of data each year to our end users with very limited resources in the facility. Here is a composite map of all our users, and I wanted to mention that we have over 10,275 users in Canada using Unidata's tools and services. I have already mentioned that the GEM model output is pushed to universities throughout the U.S. and Canada, and I have already mentioned that both McGill and University of Quebec Montreal are receiving real-time weather data courtesy of Unidata's network. I want to switch gear from Unidata and talk about some of the other data resources available from NCAR and UCAR. Jim has already mentioned the Earth Observing Laboratory, particularly their lower atmospheric facilities. And I want to mention that they actually operate a fabulous field catalog of all of the data collected during all of the field campaigns, including all of the data streams, model output, et cetera, and observations taken by the research aircraft and other instruments that are deployed in field campaigns called the field catalog that is openly accessible and that also provides GIS services via Google Earth visualizations and other ways. Here is an example of some of the real-time data display capabilities available from the Earth Observing Laboratory. These are available in the Field Operations Center as well as post-field project for researchers to come and peruse the data, analyze the data, clean the data, and use it in their research. Many of these tools are also available using GIS display tools. There is actually a nice movie here, but in the interest of time, perhaps I should skip over it, and you can never rely on a real-time demo. You can almost guarantee that it's going to fail. So I'm not going to risk that and try to yield some time and move on to the next area of data capabilities from UCAR and NCAR. I want to mention Al Kelly's Computational and Information Systems Lab resources. Particularly, there are three different projects or portals that provide data access to a community of worldwide users, and the metrics are in front of you, over 20,000 users and 300 data providers that are actually ingesting data to be provided through the three portals that are shown there. One is for the Arctic community called Arctic Cooperative and Data Information Service that is providing data from all NSF-funded Arctic projects to a vast audience. There is also the Earth System Grid that has been around for more than a decade now that has been providing access to all of the CMIP data that are generated by World Community Prediction Climate Prediction Centers. The ESG node at NCAR is one of the many nodes that provide that data, and many of you might have accessed that archive for doing your climate data analysis. And then there is the crown jewel, which is the research data archive that has been around since almost the founding of NCAR that Jim described, that provides a vast array of data. The first reanalysis data was actually a joint creation between the community, the National Center for Environmental Prediction, and NCAR, and it was called NCAR NSEP Reanalysis. And now many organizations around the world are doing reanalysis and providing data from their reanalysis projects, but NCAR was one of the pioneers in this particular area and spearheaded the very first instance of that. Here are some metrics on the download volumes that are continuing to grow up as more and more data are hosted by NCAR as well as consumed by worldwide users. In addition to the data portals I mentioned, there's a fantastic facility that Jim quickly alluded to, which is the Data Simulation Research Testbed. Even though it has the name Testbed, it is almost a data simulation facility for the community to do data simulation on a wide variety of models, coupled atmospheric ocean models using vast amount of observational databases. And it's an excellent facility where you can actually go and use this facility to test different data simulation schemes or even do your quasi-operational, quasi-production data simulation for your subsequent research. Here are some examples shown very quickly that shows the use of this particular facility for global data simulation, for ensemble reanalysis data sets, coupled atmospheric ocean models, regional models, WRF data simulation, and many other simple to complex models of the atmosphere or the Earth system. Here is my last slide, some key takeaways. I just wanted to mention that both on the UCP side of UCAR as well as on the NCAR side, we offer a rich portfolio of data services, products, and tools at no cost to users. I want to underscore that, so everything is free. So please feel free to avail of these capabilities as your needs evolve. We have expertise as well as resources for data infrastructure and software. We have data and software delivery and distribution systems, many analysis and visualization systems across the organization. You heard about NCL from NCAR and many other ones I showed on my previous, one of the previous slides from Unidata. We have very, very strong relationship with our universities. Universities essentially govern Unidata and UCAR, and we pay very close attention to the needs of the university community. That said, we also partner extensively with federal agencies. Here it says U.S., I should just say agencies around the world. I mentioned to you the partnership we have in Canada with the Environment Canada as well as CMC, but there are numerous other organizations with which all of UCAR interacts with and partners with and collaborates on many important projects for the benefit of the community. That, in a nutshell, is a suite of offerings from UCAR, NCAR. I'll be happy to take some questions if there is time. Thanks for your attention.